Show with Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Stupid management. The people are real. The cases are real. This is
Tom and Ollie. I just called
to say. So for the last 33 years, yep. I've run the city to surf in a gorilla suit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And 20 years ago, yeah. on the November the 14th, I married my wife.
Yeah.
And Shania Twain's From This Moment On was our wedding song. That doesn't
One, two, three, four.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Well done on impressing Shania Twain. Tonight, though, man, it's guess. On this Tuesday night show.
Thomas, you said it's guests. Very hard to make those words separate, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. I did say guests in the promo, but sure, that's fine. Hey, we've been saying for a while now that we're the only show not to have Hamish and Andy on promoting True Stories.
Exclusively not having Hamish and Andy. But that changes tonight, Tom.
Well, possibly.
Okay, possibly.
Possibly before 7:30. We'll have Andy Lee. Possibly.
Not confirmed.
Not confirmed at all. We also, tonight, Tim Minchin. You know that guy, he's sang that song, Comeback Cardinal Pell.
And
went
I still
viral.
Call Australia homophobic. He's awesome, he's very smart, and I can't wait to get him in to have a big old chinwag.
He's after 7:30, and then of course Sammy Groth at 8:30, talking about John Millman's massive win.
Guests.
Yeah.
But Tom, up next to start the show, I need your help tonight to prove to my girlfriend and my girlfriend's sister that her worst habit, quote unquote, isn't that bad.
Okay, stick around. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Baby Animals with Painless, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. They've come crawling back. We're the only show not to have Hamish and Andy on promoting True Stories, but Andy Lee will be on before 7:30. I promise it.
Get involved with my first question of the night, Tom. It is, what's your partner's worst habit? On 133353 or on Facebook or Instagram, Tom and Ollie, you can always get in touch there. But my girlfriend Sarah, her sister Amy had her hens party just recently.
Oh, hens party?
Yeah.
That reminds me of Pink's Raise Your Glass. Oh my God! There's penis straws everywhere!
These are
Let's
tiny.
Let's pin the penis on the man!
Yeah.
By the way, I was speaking to my sister about hens parties. Oh. She hates hens parties. She's like, can I please come to the Bucks?
I think all girls say that, but they still end up going to the hens party and mucking in anyway.
I still think that all women hate hens parties and they just all have to go along and go, yes, cupcakes, but really they just want beers and chips.
I think you're not wrong, because there are a lot of tropes that get thrown in with hens parties. One of them is the game where...
Well, it's pink!
No, you know the game where you ask your partner a question? Well, that's like a video made. This was Sarah did this for her partner, or for Sarah's partner.
And the bride has to guess what the husband said.
Yeah, yes, they say, you know, what is Steve's favourite meal? And he answers in the video, and then we see if the wife or the bride can name the same thing.
Yeah.
So
they
question
do it at Bucks as well, for sure.
Yeah, true, okay. I haven't been to many Bucks buddies, but
because you're a loser and nobody wants to invite you.
But one of the questions was, what's the worst habit of your partner?
Oh,
and Sarah's sister Amy, her husband to be, said her worst habit was falling asleep on the couch. And I was like, well, that's not the worst habit ever,
to be honest.
So I questioned that, but he wasn't there. He was on video, so I couldn't
She must have very smelly BO because he is hiding something. You know what I mean?
He's faking it.
He's totally faking it. Yeah, that's not a worst habit.
Well,
must have a horrible bad habit.
I saw her on the weekend having dinner at Father's Day on Sunday, and I said to her, I saw your hens party video, Amy, and Steve said your worst habit was falling asleep on the couch. What's with that? That isn't that bad. She's like, yeah, I'm pretty bad. Like, she felt bad. Like, she had a complex about it.
Unless she literally sits on the couch and as soon as her ass hits the couch, she falls asleep. That's a pretty bad habit, you know, because you couldn't relax.
Yeah, but I was mocking her, but then she did
say... It's
like,
come sit down, Amy, and then she sits and is like...
Well, she said it is every night at 8 p.m. So if you want to see your partner and speak to them, I guess it is a bad habit. But I don't know.
It's pretty lame.
There's worse bad habits. So I just thought on 133353, if you can beat that, I want to prove to Amy and to Sarah that there are worse habits than falling asleep on the couch in the evening.
What's your partner's worst habit? Give us a call. My boyfriend has insanely bad snoring.
Does he? Yeah.
I think he suffers from sleep apnea, which is probably not the best thing to be suffering from at 27 years old.
That's a real shame. So it's just a real like...
It's like...
Oh. Oh. And you just give him a little whack, or what do? You hold his nose?
I just kind of like graze my hand along his body, and that seems to wake him up.
That's very, very nice of you. It's almost very sexual. Is it?
133353. What's your partner's worst habit? This is new music from Good Charlotte. It's called Shadow Boxer. Let us know what you think at triplem.com.au and become a club member. You're with Tom and Ollie. Triple M, we have questions. It's new music from Good Charlotte. It's called Shadow Boxer. You're with Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions. Hey, if you're listening to Triple M for the music, which most of you are, I've got some banging tracks to play for you tonight. I've still got The Boss coming, Kings of Leon, Pearl Jam, new one from Slash and Miles Kennedy.
But if you're here for the chat, then great time to join us because the chats start now.
Yeah.
We've asked, what's your partner's worst habit, Tom?
Yeah.
After my girlfriend's sister believes that her worst habit is falling asleep on the couch.
Oh, no.
Which I would say is a fairly normal behavior, but good on her. I want to prove to her that there are worse habits out there and to just chill out about the falling asleep on the couch.
I think I've revealed my worst habit, Ollie.
Yeah.
Because my boyfriend just texted me and said, oh my God, it's our 6 month anniversary. I went, oh, didn't remember.
Oh no.
I didn't remember the anniversary.
And you say you love him so much. Well, you forgetful idiot.
Well, I do love him so much. It's just, yeah. What's your worst habit, Ollie?
My worst habit. Well, the question is, what's your partner's worst habit?
Well, what's your partner's worst habit?
I'm banned from saying Sarah's worst habit. So
what is
I've
it?
Been told I can't say it. Well, I can't say it.
What's Sarah's worst habit?
No, I honor that she said you cannot say it.
I'll get it out of you. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how are you?
What's your partner's worst habit, mate?
My beautiful partner is an aggressive sneezer.
Oh,
like scare the crap out of you.
How aggressive? Can you do a recreation for us?
Aggressive. Everyone. It's just you can't hold it in, be quiet, little subtle things. No, it's just aggressive no matter where you are.
Ever happened in a movie theatre?
No, it hasn't happened, but it's happened everywhere in public.
Yeah, disgusting, right. Isn't it? That's just horrible. And is it wet and moist?
It's just loud and scary.
Mine's critiqued as being one of the noisiest and most moisture sounding sneezes ever heard.
That's disgusting.
It's worse.
Hold on.
Thank you for sharing, Ben. Ollie, what's your partner's worst habit?
I can't say it, Tom.
I'm
surprised you always have a go at me for sneezing, but you didn't even mention then that...
I don't have a go at you for sneezing.
You constantly go, that's disgusting.
No. That's Sarah that has
you
a go.
Shame me.
No, Sarah has a go at you.
You're a sneeze shamer.
Don't sneeze shame.
You do I've felt sneeze shamed by you.
Hey, what's your partner's worst habit again?
Don't, it's not funny.
G'day, Leanne.
Hello.
What's your partner's worst habit? 133353 if you want to get
My partner is the biggest flirt out and likes to crack on to other women when we go out.
What?
And it feels like he forgets that I'm there. And early days, he actually was cracking on and chatting up this woman. I went upstairs to try and get him to come home. His mate went upstairs to try and get him to come home. And we just went, nope, that's it. We're going to leave him here. He went to leave with this other woman and he was quite drunk. And when he was following her down the stairs, he actually fell down the stairs and broke his ribs.
Oh, karma. Oh my God.
It was karma. Yeah, it was early days. And and the weird thing was when the bouncers came up to help him and stuff like that, they sort of said, oh, who's with this guy? And this girl goes, oh, I am. And I had to go over and go, well, no, actually, I am.
He sounds like a bit of a fool, but is that worse, though, than falling asleep on the couch? I mean, you know.
Oh, I think so. Falling asleep in someone else's bed is pretty bad.
Sounds like not a bad habit, but a bit of a dickhead, Leanne.
Oh, God. Imagine having someone that just constantly flirts. What's your partner's worst habit, Ollie? Hey, Jack. How you doing?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Good, mate. What's a bad habit we're talking about here?
The one where my partner likes to find it funny to wipe her boogers on me.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
Whereabouts on you? Like on clothing?
On clothing, sometimes skin.
Oh.
At the worst times possible.
Oh, yuck.
That's horrid.
Do you say,
like, seriously, stop it?
Yeah, she finds it funny.
She finds it funny. Well, you're not alone there. Chris on Facebook has said, my girlfriend is constantly farting and cupcaking me.
Oh, I do like a cupcake, though. I do that to Seth.
I bet you do.
What do you mean, I bet you do?
Cupcake.
What's your partner's worst habit?
Tom, you're being
133353. We want to know what your partner's worst habit is. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Hey, we have questions. Turn up this. It's the boss, of course. It's the boss. Born in the USA, Triple M's Tom and Ollie.
Tom, we've asked what your worst habit is, or your partner's worst habit is, rather, because my girlfriend, Sarah's sister, Amy, believes her worst habit is falling asleep on the couch in the evening. And I said to her, Amy, it isn't that bad, love. There are worse bad habits out there. And Chris, you've got one.
Yeah, mate, falling asleep is nothing compared to what my missus does.
Oh, no. What does the missus do?
What the missus?
The missus likes the great Australian rule, if it's yellow, let it mellow. Oh. So basically, what that means is she refuses to flush the toilet when she wees.
I don't know. I'm torn on that one. It's also a good camping theory as well.
Yeah, that's true. And it saves the environment as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, stick around. For a while now, we've said we're the only show not to have Hamish and Andy promoting true stories on it. Well, up next, that rule is broken.
Yes.
Let's get Andy Lee in here, Ollie.
Oh, where's Hamish?
He's on holiday in Italy, I think.
Right.
You with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Stick around. Andy Lee up next. So good. Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. And stick around, because after 7:30, we have Tim Minchin coming into the studio.
Tom, for a few weeks now, we've been saying we're the only radio show to not have Hamish and Andy on promoting true stories.
They've been doing the rounds.
They have been getting around, but the drought has broken. Yes. And we've stumbled across Andy Lee.
Yep.
and stolen him away to have him on to promote true stories.
I've been monitoring your ratings.
Yeah.
So when they hit the mark, and I've been monitoring you guys as a show, I'm like, yep, the chemistry's not quite there yet. And no. then last week.
Yeah.
What a glorious week for you two.
Bubbling
was,
chemistry.
Oh,
bubbling.
And I was like, I rang Nine publicity immediately.
Admit it, I heard us say no H&A on this show, and you said, I have to get on that show.
I said, there's only one team I want to do this week. He said, no, you've obliged to do a lot of others. I was like, no, Tom and Ollie, that's where I want to be.
Well, right, True Story's been smashing it Tuesdays, 8:40 after the block.
Yes.
What can we expect from tonight's episode of True Story?
Tonight's episode, I think it's the funniest one.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've got the Auntie Donna boys on it?
We do. Yeah. It's not necessarily the most clever. This is probably shows my level of sense of humour. But
that's their humour.
Essentially,
not funny, but clever.
We're back to the 80s. Cool. We really lean on that, by the way.
Yeah, I
think there's three or four VBs drunk in the first 5 minutes.
And I've seen Broden do his classic Aussie voice of, the bloody 80s were great, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. So we're back to the 80s, and a guy called Phil goes to a backyard barbie. Fizzer goes to there to meet up with Shazza, because they're both single.
Good.
A bit of a match-up. And when he's sitting there in the cut-off stubby shorts, he hasn't worn any underwear.
Yeah, Brent.
And he's sitting back in a deck chair and taking in the barbecue.
Yeah.
A kid throws a ball, and it's heading towards his groin, and there's a dog chasing it.
The dog
jumps up. The ball He misses the ball, but clasps down on Phil's left testicle. Now, this act all happens.
Gets the ball.
He gets the ball and then gets lockjaw.
Oh, my.
So it's not crunching it, but it's not letting go.
Oh.
It's like perfectly housed, like a pearl in a clam.
And the show is called True Story.
True Story. This is one that the researchers went, I reckon he's putting it on a bit. So they did extra research, got references. 100% happened. So it turns into what I find the funniest thing in life, which is drunk guys trying to problem solve.
I just love
seeing that in any moment in life when there's something. My favorite one was, we went back to Hamish's after a day at the races. We were really, really
having a good time.
We had a few.
For sure.
Yeah, responsibly.
Drink responsibly, of course. Yeah. Thank you.
And Hamish had this really crappy spa in the back that he'd always try and fire up if the party came back.
And it
never worked.
Never warm enough as well.
Never warm enough.
You have to turn it on at midday for a spa.
So he was there trying to fill up the kettle and come out, drunk guys problem solving.
I've done that.
You've done that?
I've done that.
Yeah, we did that at the snow.
Did it work? They're like, it's working, Ollie. Wasn't working.
So I had this Swedish guy staying with me called Eric, who's an engineer. And he just says...
He's drunk, though.
Yeah. And he said, I just need a coat hanger.
Oh, wow. No.
After all of us trying to work out how we could try and do it, and someone had suggested putting a heater alongside the spa, Anyway, so he came back with a garden hose that he snipped the end off and then just kind of snipped down it a little bit so it could widen. He'd gone into the kitchen, put that over the top of the kitchen sink and the hot water tap, then used the coat hanger to tighten it off.
Incredible.
Oh, my God.
And then just ran hot water from the kitchen sink, straight into the spa.
That is incredible.
That was incredible problem
solving. Expensive, but worked.
Yes, I would say the problem solving on tonight's episode of True Story to get a man released from a dog.
Is that good?
Is even better.
Right. Well, we'll be watching. If you're driving home now, make sure you switch over to Channel 9, True Story 840.
Well, we're working, but yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Or do we want people to keep listening to the show?
I respect that.
Yeah. Catch up.
Yeah, catch up.
Sorry, Andy. Guys, don't watch it.
Nine now. Catch up on Nine now. Don't worry about watching it tonight. Watch on Nine now.
Do what everyone does, which is listen to this show without doing anything else.
Yeah. You know the numbers. You know the numbers.
Yeah. And then, try and get it if you can. If you can.
Well, thank you for breaking the drought of not having any Hamish Blake or Andy Lee on this show.
Guys, it's lovely to be on. You know I'm a big fan of your show, and we've been broing for a long time.
It's true.
Too long. Thanks, Andy.
Too long. Oh, God, it's all over. What a weird way to end a friendship.
All right, mate. See ya.
You with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Two best mates. I'm sick of you.
Oh, yeah?
And 3 hours of questions. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Tom, the guests keep coming. As you said, guests.
No, I said guests.
Yes. Well, you might recall this song. Come home, Cardinal Pell. I know. Huge in 2016 from Tim Minchin. That is one of his songs. He's got a number of tunes that capture a nation, I think.
Let's get him in here to chat his brand new tour, Ollie, that's coming up next year.
Yeah, love to chat to the man.
Amazing. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Tim Minchin up next. It's Daughter, Pearl Jam, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions.
Tom, we're very excited to introduce a guest who, let's be honest, Tom, makes us a bit nervous.
Oh, yeah.
He's a powerhouse when it comes to singing, songwriting, acting. He's done a whole number of things, but I won't introduce him myself. I'll let this lady do it here.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Tim Minchin.
Oh, Tim Minchin. Thank you so much for coming in, mate.
Yeah, no, that's all right. You should be nervous. This is going to be tough for you guys.
We are nervous. That lady, of course, was introing you at the University of Western Australia. You did a speech where you...
gave nine life lessons.
Lectured people.
Pontificated.
On how pontificated, yeah. Preached.
Preached, I mean. You did. Yeah. And you spoke about the fact that, you know, you're not equipped to give career advice because you haven't had a career.
Yes.
But you have got a really wide-spanning skill set that you've been able to employ with great success.
And now you're coming back for a national tour, the first national tour since 2012.
I know, I forgot. For 7 years I went, what's my job again? And now I've remembered that it's going plinky-plonk on a stage and saying stuff. So.
Is that why it's called back? Just to simply say I'm back?
Or? It is. It's a witty pun because the poster is a photo of my back.
Oh, good. Speaking of touring, you write some amazingly biting social commentary songs. But I was listening to a song on the way in here called Rock and Roll Nerd.
Oh, yeah.
Did you always want to be... I mean, we're on Triple M, mate. Did you always want to be just a rock and roll star?
I grew up dreaming I would be in this small orange soundproof room with you guys. With a dude with an ironic moustache. Just anyone who's done a couple of years in Aubrey Wodonga.
Another guy in green cords.
Another guy in green cords, secondhand, or pretending to be secondhand.
We're very Triple M.
Yeah, super trips M's. Look, the Rock and Roll Nerd, I wrote before I became a comedian, like before I started branding myself as a comedian, I wrote, that was just kind of how I was writing, that sort of, it's not really a comedy song like some of my, it's not punchline-y, it's just quirky. But it's this song that I wrote when I was living in Melbourne and with cracks in the walls of our bedroom that you could stick your fist in, you know. And we did. We used to fist the wall. And
the crazy times.
And we were young. It didn't matter anymore. And there wasn't AIDS.
You don't get that these days.
You don't get it. Kids these days don't know what it's like to lose half your arm in a wall. But I wrote that song and it really was like, that sort of, look, I'm a middle-class white boy. I want to write songs, but I've got nothing to write about. And I feel totally inauthentic because music feels to me like a thing through which you express your struggle or some unique, you know, that, especially at that time when either on back in the 90s, obviously it's all grunge and like frustrated, depressed Seattle kids going, it's raining outside. I have to play some power chords to make it feel better. And then on the other side, all this stuff coming out of, you know, people of color in America with really tough upbringings, like rapping their fury
out. Those kinds of songs, those sort of more political or edgy or sensitive topics that have got a lot of traction. Yeah. Should we catch up some of the our audience with some of your bigger ones, Tom?
Well, I think Cardinal Pell was one of your biggest songs about the Cardinal, George Cardinal Pell. Yeah. Yeah. I just want you to come home, Cardinal Pell. I know
such a rollicking chorus for it's such so, a dark topic.
Well, that's how I've made my living, clashing content with form, man. That's comedy. But what I notice is that's really back, tempo-wise. It really sits back. Mm. And you kind of have to when you these days you write a pop song to get it released, and the idea is it has a hook that repeats many, many times, and it goes in once. In the case of my songs, because there's always so much text, I have to be very careful because I need people to hear my intent immediately, because it's all about intent. It's all about being didactic, you know. And so I never played that song again. I wrote it and recorded it and released it all in a 4-day period.
You don't play it much?
No, I've never played it. I wouldn't know how to play it. I wouldn't know the words.
What?
I've certainly never watched it. I do remember being very tired and ill when I filmed that thing. I looked terrible in the video.
And I recall you saying that when you released that, you wanted it to be a bit of a poxy home video, not a big showy thing.
Yeah, well, you know, the viralness, in terms of the fact that its intention was activism, I was trying to support this people trying to raise money to get survivors of church child abuse over to see George, and so it had intention. And you know, what you guys have learned, I'm sure, is that virality doesn't always correlate with quality. You know, it goes faster if it looks shitter. But anyway, this one I did spend some on. But my Still Call Australia Homophobic. That was the one that went really fast. And
well, let's hear a
song parody.
Let's hear a bit of that one as well.
It's bad enough these poly assholes pass discriminatory laws. Now we're forced to dance the plebiscite cheek. But on the upside, this plebiscite might enlighten us. At least we'll know exactly how many Aussies are bigoted.
I mean, that song, I cried when I saw that song. Literally cried. It just affected me so much.
I'm sorry.
No, it was incredible.
Just know that it's not the last time I'm going to make you cry.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Good.
It was so beautiful and it was so fitting. I think you captured the nation's anger and just like going, what are we doing? Mm.
I can see a great political mind sort of whirring away as you answer with this stuff. So I reckon we go to a song time when we come back and chat a bit of politics and a bit of your time in the USA as well.
Beautiful.
Stick around. More Tim Minchin on after this. It's new music from Slash and Miles Kennedy with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Triple M's Tom and Ollie here. We have questions, and after 8 o'clock, I want to ask a question. Did you try and impress, but it backfired after I tried to impress my boyfriend Seth, Ollie?
Make him poutine, did you?
No, he's American, not Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
We're speaking to Tim Minchin, who is having his first national tour since 2012. It's called Back. You can grab tickets at livenation.com.au from this Thursday. And it's billed as old songs, new songs, FU songs.
Yeah.
I can't say the full word there, but we've
spoken. Frangipani.
Yeah, great. Frangipani songs. We've spoken a bit about your old songs. What are some of your new songs that you've got in this tour?
Well, I haven't quite decided yet. I mean, it's a few months away, and I do want to let the thing. That's why I've called it Back. Old songs, new songs, FU songs. I want to say I'm going to be playing old comedy.
Generic
I'm
enough be, that you can.
Yeah,
still
that's right.
A bit.
And I really want people to come because they want to come and see what I'm doing. I'm not going to say this is going to have 20 minutes of new stand up, and you know, like I don't really. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I do know I've played enough concerts in America and England and Opera House steps and stuff in the last few years, even though I've not toured, that I'm developing this style of, it's just a mad concert with a lot of anger and funny rhymes, you know. And the new stuff, I'm actually writing a record at the moment, making a record. Mm. I just got this new mix through of this new song called...
Is that your first real album?
Yeah, it is. And I don't know who wants it, but they're not punchliney songs, but...
We'll play them here.
Well, a couple of them, you might. They're pretty... I'm very wordy, you know. I don't write pop songs, but I'm really enjoying the process of figuring it out. And some of them belong in concerts. Some of them are very quirky and talk about love and death and sex and God, the stuff I've always talked about. And there'll definitely be a place for some of them, but I just want to get a balance.
Yeah.
I just... My job is to entertain the crap out of people. And I have never lost sight of that.
They always have heart, your songs. Like listening to Drinking White Wine in the Sun is just, it's a song full of heart and you can feel it coming out of you. So they're amazing. They're amazing songs.
And I'm guessing you want to get back to being on stage and having a bit of fun with the music, because I was reading about your last time in America trying to get Larrikin off the ground, a movie that ended up getting canned. And you spoke about it being a really tough time. What was it like to, as you said, sort of hit a low when it comes to creativity and enjoyment?
Yeah, well, I have been the luckiest mofo in the world in terms of, you know, at 30, I was really struggling. And then all this work I had done, writing music for theatre and kind of acting a bit, and it sort of all came together at the right time. I just got really lucky. And off the back of that, I got acting roles that I don't really deserve. And you know, I've been very, very lucky, but one of the things I did when I decided I want to stop touring is Matilda had come out, and suddenly all these people were saying, come and write our musical, come work for DreamWorks and try. And so I wrote some songs for DreamWorks and then started lecturing them about how the movie should look, and they went, well, come and direct it. And I'm like, ha ha ha. And then I did, and moved my family to LA and spent 4 years working on this film, which was well over half done. And starred Hugh Jackman and Jackie Weaver and, you know, like Ben Mendelsohn. And, like,
huge.
And then the studio got bought and they just put it in the bin. And that's, it's millions of work hours.
Billions and billions.
Billions of work hours. And so it's this weird thing where you go, okay, I'm the most privileged guy in the world. You know, I've been so lucky. But these bastards,
still,
you know, like, because it's the loss of time, because I am obsessed by making stuff. And and sometimes I make little videos that are for charity, and sometimes I make big tours, and sometimes make a children's musical, and sometimes I do a speech.
Yeah.
And the thing that draws it all together is I want to try and do good stuff to the best of my ability. I ain't Picasso, but I'm trying to make good stuff.
And 4 years is a long time.
Oh, man, it just... And Harry Cripps, who's my beautiful friend who wrote the original script, so he's 6-7 years relationship with it.
Oh my god.
You know, and it broke his heart, it broke our hearts. And Pierre, the animator, it put all their careers, and they're just psychopathic. It's not like they made calls. You just get a call, it's over. You know,
what,
it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I could bang on about anyway.
What's the journey of getting out of that headspace? Do you feel stronger from it, or do you just feel bitter?
Well, look, that experience and a few Broadway things that happened made me realize you just have to decide whether you want to mud wrestle with psychopaths as part of your career. Yeah. Because if you want to make movies, if you want to get an Oscar nomination, or if you want to win a Tony on Broadway, really what happened that year is we got a couple of token, we got absolutely rolled by a musical no one thought was as good, but we got rolled. Right. And the thing is, and that sounds bitter, but it's just true. No, anyone would tell you that.
Matilda, of course.
So Matilda didn't win the Tonys that you need to win to survive. You know, they won a couple of like best supporting actor and stuff. Yeah, right. But so that's been written about a lot. So I'm not being an asshole about that. I am, but I don't mean to be. But if you want to do it, you have to. And I need to not be spoilt about that. I chose to go and make a DreamWorks movie, which always runs the risk of being destroyed by a new boss. Well, this is the story of a million bands. You know, they get signed to a record label and the A&R guy, and their one big chance, the chance that was going to make them, they put the record in the bin. The band never gets... Like, that story happens over and over again, and I did not suffer. I still got a career. But to answer your question eventually, it's just... You just got to keep... This time last year, I was honestly like, I'm done. I'm never going to... Like, I just felt... Like they had successfully extracted from me my mojo and flushed it down the loo. Yeah. Like it was, even while half my brain was going, don't be pathetic, I'm like, I'm over 40. I probably was lucky for 10 years. I should thank, and like, I have to think of something else to
do. It's hard to keep that mojo going when you're working in a creative space, and we feel the same way. Can you hang around for one more chat? I'd love to ask more questions.
Yeah, sure.
Stick around, more Tim Minchin after this. It's Great Southern Land Ice House with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Triple M's Tom and Ollie, we have questions. Before 8:30, we'll be chatting to Sammy Groth, former Australian tennis player, chatting about John Millman's amazing win at the US Open today over Roger Federer. But it is guests galore right now as we have Tim Minchin in the studio.
hanging out with us. He's got a brand new tour coming early next year called Back. You can head to livenation.com.au and grab tickets from this Thursday.
Tim, you're back from the USA about 8 months ago now. I'd love to hear your thoughts on politics in America versus Australia. And I heard you talking on Adam Zwar's podcast, 10 Questions with Adam Zwar. Mm-hmm. And it was a great chat. And you spoke about being a lefty, but also accepting that lefties and progressives need to do better at not being so loose and being a bit more smart about how they go about it.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that in the environment we're in now where politics is so polarizing?
Yeah.
What do we do? What do we do as a lefty myself and Tom probably as well? What do we do better?
I think what we've lost with mostly because of digital technology and the democratization of information, which is good in many ways, is we have lost any quality control on the way in which we debate and argue and converse. Mm. And whether it's chicken or egg, we have the most inarticulate... We literally have a man in the White House who doesn't read books, and that America is happy with... Some of America is happy with the idea of a president who doesn't read books and think he's better than the president who wrote books. I mean, it is a loss of respect for... clarity of ideas. And I just think, as a progressive, I don't identify with the left or the right in Australian politics because I haven't lived here and I don't know who these clowns are anyway. All I know is I would, obviously, if you looked at all my political leanings, I would tilt left, but I don't care about that. What I care about is I want progressivism, or whatever you want to call it, to be, there has to be someone who cares about the truth. And I see every day fellow progressives just posting stuff where it's not true or it's a ridiculously biased take on something. And the thing is, we're right. We're in the right. We're morally in the right. And every time we post something that is not true or that only tells one side of the story, we are doing what we should let them do. Let them play their bullshit propaganda games. If we don't have truth on our side, we're no better than them. And we can have truth on our side because we're morally, I obviously believe we're morally correct. We must have the more clear, more gentle, and more truthful arguments every time someone looks around. And we are nowhere near that. We are just screaming banshees like them. And I'm the one making the public shaming song about the Catholic priest. I'm part of it. In fact, I was a polemicist before being a polemicist was cool. And now I'm going, oh, shit, now what? Like, now everyone's a polemicist. Now everyone's screaming.
And it's not as much fun now, is
it? Well, I'm like, make it rhyme at least.
If you're going to be polarizing, at least make it fun and good ditty.
And the thing is with my Pell song or my Pope song or some of my more angry songs is that I spend many, many hours making sure the argument completes itself. So you might not like my language and you might not agree with my position, but internally the argument is looking after itself.
Yeah.
We have to hold our arguments to account.
As opposed to a Facebook comment that says, Malcolm Turnbull, shit.
Yeah. and there's, we have an incredible inclination to assume nefarious intent in others. That's a psychological truth. We assume other people are doing things for bad reasons. They're just not. Apart from genuine psychopaths and narcissists like Trump, who you can't even call evil because he's just a narcissist. He's got a problem with his mind. Most people are doing things with positive intent. And if you can't attribute to other people positive intent, we're screwed. So we have to extend our empathy to people we disagree with. That's the final piece of the puzzle and the hardest. And I find that hard. I just called half of Australia bigoted C words because of gay marriage. So, but it was a funny joke about the word.
Tim Minchin, you are incredibly profound and I cannot wait to grab my tickets for Back, which is touring in March and April. Grab them at livenation.com.au from this Thursday. Thank you so much for coming in. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I've had fun.
Thanks,
you guys
Tim.
Are nice.
Thanks, mate.
Play the tunes.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, so good chatting to Tim Minchin. Make sure you go grab tickets for his show Back You just head to livenation.com.au this Thursday. They go on sale. I just cannot wait for that show. He's so profound.
Loved it. But the guests don't stop there, Tom. We're chatting to Sam Groth, Aussie tennis player, about John Millman's big win in about 20 minutes' time.
Do you know that he has a world record serve, Ollie? I've actually been doing some research, and in 20 minutes' time, I will reveal to you what Sam Groth's world record serve is compared to.
Okay. Jesus.
Because it's bigger than what you think.
Ben Hur.
Yeah. Hey, here's what I need. We have questions on this show. That's what we do. Mm. I want you to get involved on 133353. If you tried to impress, but it backfired, did you try and go that extra mile and go, hey, look at me, I'm very impressive, but it didn't go down too well?
Like a favour to someone or like trying to help someone out?
Well, I tried to impress my boyfriend the other night to show him how strong I was.
Oh, God.
And, oh, man, it backfired. It backfired so much that I was injured for about half an hour.
Well, he's a unit, though, and you're not. Yeah. That's the thing.
Well, stick around and jump on the phone, 133353. Did you try and impress, but it backfired? You with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. It's Van Halen, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions. Aussie tennis player Sam Groth on very soon to talk John Millman's win in the US Open. But Ollie, I want to know on 133353, because we have questions on this show. I want to know, did you try and impress, but it backfired? It was date night on Friday night, me and my boyfriend Seth.
Oh, watch out.
I know. A
couple of lads on the town or at home?
Out on the town, went to the pub, had a few frothies. Friday night, have a few couple of Friday frothies. You know what it's about. Just because I'm a homosexual doesn't mean I can't have a Friday froth. Am I right?
I wasn't thinking that, but no. Thanks for clarifying. Wasn't Prosecco, wasn't white wines.
Oh, I love a white wine. I get around the frothies as much as you do.
A Cosmo?
No, not a Cosmo.
Okay.
Who wants a vodka cranberry juice with a dash of lime? I mean, yes, I do know the ingredients, but shut up.
Of course, you are cosmopolitan, but you don't drink them.
Walking home from the pub, and the topic of conversation turned to my boyfriend's mates. Now, he's from America, so I haven't really met his mates, and he's from country United States of America in Colorado.
Utah.
And, like, his mates are probably rougher than, not Utah at all. I'm on a roll here.
I was waiting to see.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to tell the story.
Seattle.
No, he's from Colorado.
Colorado,
Denver.
Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, Denver, Colorado, but he's not from Denver.
San Fran.
Oh, just shut up.
Okay. New York.
Not New York. So we're walking home. We're talking about his mates, and he went, "What if my mates said that you're weak? Like, what if my mates went, oh yeah, Tom's pretty weak?
Why would he say that?
I don't know. I can't remember exactly the conversation because it was Friday Froths. But he's
saying hypothetically, would you feel upset if my mates called you weak?
Yes. And then with the bravado that I had in me, we were walking past a green hedge,
sort of Dutch courage,
and I went, would your weak boyfriend do this? And I'm feeling quite strong, right? I'm feeling like really into it.
Yeah.
So with my left hand, I'm next to the hedge. She's on my right. With my left hand.
You push him into the hedge?
No, I just slam my hand into the hedge.
Oh.
Right? Just being like, would your weak boyfriend do this? And I just bash the hedge, right? It's a stupid move. Like,
you're an
it doesn't
idiot.
Make any sense.
Why don't you push him into the hedge? That's the classic move of strength.
No, because, I mean, I didn't want to hurt him.
Okay.
Like, he's just talking about how strong I am. Anyway, I slam my hand into the hedge. I then retract it going, ow, 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 because I've proceeded to have about six different burrs go into my hand. I spend the next half an hour being like, ow, no, Seth, ow, it really hurts. Oh. It really, there's prickles in my hand.
Yeah.
We've bought beers on the way home, so I've like, I'm holding the can of unopened beer just to try and ice my hand.
Yeah, that's...
It wasn't impressive. He spent the next 15 minutes laughing at me for having burrs in my hand.
Well, I mean, Tom, I'm not surprised. You're not the most physically imposing person. You don't make the toughest choices when it comes to being a cool dude. You're not... Like that story was so clearly leading towards someone going, and so I proved my strength by pushing him into the hedge. And yet your brain went, I'm going to... I'm going to palm a hedge? That's not even cool. Even if you did palm the hedge, well, he's going to go, wow, you really palmed that hedge.
Well, that's what I was going for. It was a bit of a joke, kind of impressing.
Yeah.
But it backfired. And if you tried to impress and it backfired, 133353. Josh, you've tried to do this?
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Good, buddy. You tried to do it in high school.
Yeah, look, mate, it's sort of stuck with me for the rest of my life because it's been a long-term injury. But, yeah, back in high school, probably year 9 or so, you know, testosterone was kicking in. Everyone's going through puberty, these sort of things. I might have been a bit late, but who's counting? And look, there was this particular girl, Michelle, had a bit of a thing for her. I thought she might have felt the same, and it was sports day, right? So we'd been dropped off the bus a bit early, and we're back on the field, and we had a soccer ball. We're just doing crosses in with some sort of backpacks on the ground as the goals.
Yeah.
Just trying to do some classy finishes. And, mate, I'm not much of a player. I'm not hugely coordinated, but I saw her get off the bus. I kind of waited until she was almost in view inside of what I was about to do, and this perfect cross came in. And I thought, you know what? Screw it. Bicycle kick.
Bicycle no, kick.
I went for it. And, of course, the keeper, he had, like, ADHD or some sort of thing going on with him, and he came out for the big punch. And I was tackling me and took me to the ground and shattered my elbow.
Oh!
And, shattered it good. And, look, obviously with the girl there, I didn't want to look like you're showing any pain. I'm a big man.
Yeah.
So I took it. It wasn't until I got to Penrith Station walking about 20 minutes later.
Oh, Josh, it sounds like you really want to impress people, mate. I didn't know it was the Josh show here. I mean, you tried to impress and you stuffed up there.
Long one there, but good on you. Keep them coming in, 133-53.
If you tried to impress and you backfired, and I want to hear yours up next, Ollie. I've heard it's a corker.
So many times, mate. I'm so impressive.
Okay, this is brand new music, Dean Lewis, Be All Right with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Dean Lewis, Be All Right, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Let us know what you think about that new music. Head to triplem.com.au and become a club member to have a say about the music that we play. We're asking about trying to impress and it backfiring. 133-53 if you want to get involved. But Ollie, you've done this in plenty of times.
Well, it seems like impressing the partner and it backfiring is a bit of a common one. I mean, when you're in a partnership, you're constantly just trying to impress, aren't you?
Well, I tried to impress my boyfriend Seth by punching a hedge, but I ended up getting
interesting.
A lot of burrs in my hand.
I thought I'd impress the girlfriend of the GF, the Miso, by last week doing a big load of washing, Tom. And, you know.
Don't tell me this is a happy wife, happy life.
Well, it could be. I mean, I was in the process of making her very happy.
Oh,
I'd done a heap of washing.
Yeah.
And I thought I did a great job. And turns out lots of girls' clothing's pretty finicky when it comes to how you wash it. And... Well, sorry, but, you know, maybe I didn't use the right cycle or the wrong kind of soap.
Shut up, mate.
But, yeah, I ruined 2 dresses and a jumper.
Oh.
Shrunk. Shrunken and then, like, woolen and just stretched and wrecked and stuff.
Yeah, no.
What's with that?
Well, women's clothing is, you need to look at the care instructions, Ollie.
Where do you find the care instructions?
I mean, there's not really any women in my life. I am a homosexual, but even I know. No, that adds to the stereotype, doesn't it? Having to read about the care instructions.
Even you come with care instructions.
I don't come with care instructions, okay, mate? Hey, up next, Sammy Groth, former Australian tennis player, to dish the goss on John Millman's win at the US Open today. Stick around. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Yesterday's Guns N' Roses. G'day, it's Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Hey, if you can't get involved on the phones on 133-53, then make sure you get involved on the socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Tom and Ollie.
Tom, the nation is abuzz as a fellow Aussie over in the US has done us proud. And I'm talking about John Millman, a very, I'd say, unknown tennis player who's taken out Roger Federer in the US Open of round 4. And this is the audio here.
That's it. John Millman has pulled off one of the biggest upsets in tennis history.
There it is, Tom, the audio of John's huge win today. And we thought to get the inside scoop, the tennis minds that we would love to tap into, we've got Sam Groth, who is a retired player himself, a star in his own right, and as well an Albury local, Sam, which we used to be as well.
Don't hold that against me, though.
We won't, mate.
Now,
we won't.
Sam Groth, you've obviously got your own esteemed career that wrapped up in the last few years, but I want to play you some audio of John's huge win and his press conference and get your thoughts on what John said after the game.
I'm probably in a little bit of disbelief, but, you know, I have so much respect for Roger and everything he's done for the game, and, you know, he's been a hero of mine, and today he was definitely not at his best. But, you know, I'll take it.
And Sam, that is, of course, John Millman. He's been called a giant killer. Is it fair to say he's a giant killer, or did Roger have a bad day? What's the story here?
Oh, I mean, 100% he's a giant killer. I mean, Roger Federer has won 20 Grand Slams, and I can guarantee to you, during those 20 Slams that he's won, he has not played 140 perfect matches.
So, I mean, of course, you know, even stars and champions have bad games. That still means, though, that John Millman is playing a pretty hot form of tennis right now?
Oh, he's playing great. I mean, he's into the quarterfinals. So, obviously, he's beaten Roger Federer today. He beat the 14th seed in the round before. He's playing great. And the thing is about playing John, if you are a little bit off your game, he's a fighter and he leaves everything out there and he makes every ball. He's not the biggest server. He hasn't got the biggest forehand or the biggest backhand, but it's the whole package of everything that he just does so consistently well. So if you're having a bad day, it's just going to apply that much pressure on you. And we saw it today with Roger. His forehand absolutely went to shreds in that match.
Yeah, well, speaking of bigger server, I didn't realise, but Sam Groth yourself, you actually hold the record for the fastest server at
263 kilometres.
Oh, I sure do, but I never beat Roger Federer. I can tell you that much. I know, it's nice having the world's fastest server, but I can tell you it would have been bloody nice to have a win against Roger Federer in the book.
Yeah, pretty good claim to fame. You played him twice. Do you reckon if he had a bad day when you played him, would you have beaten him?
Well, I hope he didn't have a bad day and still beat me. That wouldn't have felt too good. But no. Yeah,
what's it like playing him?
Yeah, I mean, he carries an aura about him. He carries an aura about him when he walks into a player lounge or a restaurant. And one thing John did very well is he tried not to play Roger Federer and the history of Roger Federer. He played Roger Federer today. I had the chance to play him at the US Open on Arthur Ashe, and it's a daunting experience. I had the chance to play him a year later at Wimbledon, and I think I knew a little bit more what to expect. I think I handled a little bit better the second time, but yeah, it's hard not to think about who you're playing when you are probably playing arguably the greatest player of all time.
Well, John has doubled his prize money with this win, which is a huge, huge win for him. What are his chances moving forward with the US Open, do you think?
Oh, I mean, it doesn't get any easier. He's going to play Novak Djokovic, who won at Wimbledon. Sort of struggled over the last year or year and a half, but he's definitely back playing amazing tennis again. You know, he won Wimbledon, he won in Cincinnati, which is the last big lead-up event before the US Open. And yeah, if you got Roger on a bad day, he's going to probably need to get Novak on a bad day and do the same sort of thing because, this is a tough matchup. They play very, very similar game styles. The thing is, Novak's won 11 or 12 Grand Slams doing it.
Yeah. Hey, Sam, just back on your really fast serve, mate, 263 kilometres. Just so you know, I've been doing a bit of research and I found out that your serve is faster than a tornado. Did you know that?
I played like a tornado sometimes too, about as wild.
Yeah, right.
Do you spin them in a circle that like a tornado as well?
Oh, I don't know. You have to try to return one day and see what happens, maybe.
Yeah, we'll go up at the Weir or something like that up in Albury. Oh, local chat. Yes.
Good on you, Sam. Thanks so much for joining us, mate. And best of luck, of course, to John Millman.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Just like a 5-year-old, these two keep asking questions. And just like a 5-year-old, our Play-Doh bill is through the roof. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Tom, you know I love me some politics.
Oh,
but it seems like our new Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, is just a bit boring, a bit dull because...
Primo Scott Mo. Primo ScoMo.
PM.
Oh, you got one chance.
You mean PM ScoMo? No one's calling him Primo ScoMo, but well, he's boring and dull because no one cares. All the paparazzi have followed Malcolm to his immediate post-PM getaway in New York. I want to catch you up on what he's doing.
Okay.
And I have some questions about why he's chosen to go to New York and how successful his relaxation period's going.
Let's turn on this killer now. It's Mr. Brightside, Triple M, Tom and Ollie. Yes, Highway Troon, Greta Van Fleet.
Highway Troon?
No, I definitely said Highway Troon. It's Greta Van Fleet, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. What's
your issue? Last time you said Greta Flan Fleet, which what's a flan's a dessert, and now you're saying Highway Troon. Do you need some elocution lessons?
Mate, next time I'll be saying Highway Prune.
And yes, I said elocution, not elocution.
After 9 o'clock, we're talking about this this kindergarten that included a pole dancer at the start of term. What? You're with Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions.
Tom, let's get political, as Olivia Newton-John almost said, because ScoMo is boring as a PM. No one cares. Mm. You know, if you tried to make a career out of impersonating him, like a Lawrence Mooney would do, it wouldn't work because he's boring. He's got nothing special about him.
Yeah.
Malcolm's far more interesting. Even in retirement, I want to bring you up to speed on what Malcolm has been doing.
Mm.
Him and Lucy have jetted off to New York.
Oh, what?
Which I find... Oh, no, I've never been to New York.
Oh, I've been to New York, baby. Oh, God, the city. Oh, West 32nd Street. Amazing. Right.
Well, Malcolm's got
Fifth Avenue.
Malcolm's got
Madison Avenue.
You're just saying places. Malcolm's got an apartment in worth $3.2 million US, by the way, in Upper West Side.
Oh, the Upper West Side, known for the theatres.
Yeah, well,
Broadway.
Lucy and Malcolm, this is what I find weird. He wanted to relax after, you know, the chaos of politics.
Oh, I get it. What a greater way to relax than to cruise the High Line in the Big Apple.
What's the High Line?
What's the High Line? Just a derelict train.
He wants
track.
He wants to relax, and he's gone to the city that never sleeps. That doesn't sleep. How goes that? Anyway, he's been paparazzied. He's hated that. He said, "Are you going to follow us around everywhere? Leave us alone." Poor Lucy and him are going shopping at Whole Foods.
Oh, that's like...
Lucy's got a bag and he's got a trolley.
Whole Foods is like an expensive organic shop in the US.
Oh, classic Malcolm.
Yeah.
But the funny part about the photo where he got papped is he's wearing literally a blue hat, a blue polo shirt, blue slacks, and blue shoes. It's like, mate, we get it. You're depressed, but you're not going to wear your heart in your sleeve that much. We know you're blue, but calm down. Anywhere, it's up to you. Let's play it out.
New York. Did he have a security detail with him?
I can't see anyone. Maybe they're just really far back, but at the airport he did. But I think he said, no, let us go to Whole Foods. We'll be fine. Leave us at Whole Foods. We'll meet you back at the hotel.
Lucy, where are the activated almonds?
Yeah,
nice.
Where's my brown leather jacket? I can put it back on and be cool again.
Let's talk gaming up next with our old mate from Perth, Pete Corelli.
Oh,
someone solved the 24-year-old gaming mystery. What? You're with Tom and Ollie. Triple M, that's next. It's new music from the DMAs. It's called Do I Need You Now? You're with Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Let us know what you think about that song. Head to triplem.com.au. After 9 o'clock, you will not believe how this Chinese kindergarten started the new year. But it's time to get your N64s out, your Game Boys, because it's time for this.
Tom and Ollie, press start.
If you've never heard it before, this is where we get to talk gaming with our old mate Pete Corelli from over in Perth. Hey, Pete.
Oh, hello, guys. And how nice of you to call me old mate. It's like we've been talking for weeks.
And we have been. And, mate,
it's been lovely.
You have a podcast. It's called Game on Oz. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. But, Pete, I saw this story this week and it absolutely piqued my interest. It's a secret in Doom 2, a 24-year-old game.
Yeah, 1994 this game was released, and only just this week, a speedrunner. Now, a speedrunner, just quickly, is a guy who, for a living, completes games very quickly.
For a living?
Yes, for a living, Ollie.
You mean for a dying?
No, for a living. He earns money completing games very quickly.
Why people do you say actually, he? Is it, are there girls doing it too?
Girls do it as well. I'm yet to see one, but girls do it as well.
They've got brains. Good on them.
They do indeed. But no, speedrunners are out there. They're earning money playing these games. That's probably why they still play these old games. And the objective of a speedrunner is to go from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, completing particular things along the way. As quickly as they possibly can. And
like in South Park when they sit there for a weekend and do poos into a potty. Because they can't leave the computer.
That's a very strange reference for this.
Not quite. Although, if you're talking about doing poos in the middle of a game, check out another game called Scum. But more on that another time.
Okay. Talk about Doom 2. What's going on here?
Doom 2. Oh, listen to this. Oh, your YouTube is working.
Yeah.
So Doom 2, this guy, his name is Zero Master, and he managed to figure out a secret that was actually hidden since 1994.
What?
And look, the whole idea, the reason why everybody's blowing up over this is because usually these speedrunners find these secrets by cheats, but this guy's actually found it legitimately. And to boot, the guy who created Doom, John Romero, actually tweeted about it earlier today and said, finally, after 24 years, 100% on level 15.
I love it. He tweeted, so, secret explained. A secret teleporter is marked as a discoverable secret, but when you touch it, you never enter the sector. So yeah. You would never get inside the teleporter sector to trigger the secret.
Oh, yeah.
The only way to trigger the secret is to be pushed by an enemy into it. Doom!
Doom!
This is so nerdy.
Wow, this is like 90s Triple M.
Sick.
Solo! Solo!
But these speedrunners, yeah. I mean, what about something like Super Mario 64 and stuff? How quick are people completing these games?
These guys are knocking these particular games over in about an hour, maybe even less. And they're doing it, when I was talking about completion criteria before, they're doing it, like, for example, with Super Mario 64, part of the completion criteria is that you actually have to get every coin, every red coin, every star. So they're actually doing that. But even even these games, there's secrets being dug up years down the track. Like, it took 18 years for them to finally find a Super Mario 64 coin that had been hidden. A Donkey Kong 64 speedrunner earlier this year found coin number 977 that has been hidden for 17 years. Like, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
Isn't it just dickhead game developers really hiding stuff in really annoying places?
Look, they are, but, you know, it's part of the fun. But this one, the interesting thing, like I mentioned about the Doom one, is that it is actually legitimate. They coded the game so cleverly that it was in their design that you had to be pushed onto this teleporter by an enemy rather than just glitch and find it.
So as a pair of gamers, you two, out and proud gamers, do you idolise and respect this trickery, or is it a bit of an annoyance?
Mate, I love Zero Master, the guy that found it.
Is that his real name?
Yeah, it's not his legal name. It's like it's his Twitch name. It's his speedrunner name.
If he was born a Zero Master, that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
What? Tom, what's your gamer tag?
Snappy Tom.
Oh. Like the cat food?
Yeah.
Cool, man.
All right, Beccarelli, we'll talk to you next week, mate. Thanks, Ace.
Looking forward to it, guys. Thank you.
You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M.